In 2013, President Barack Obama elevated rising inequality to a defining challenge. And this is a dangerous and growing inequality and lack of upward mobility that has jeopardized middle-class America's basic bargain, that if you work hard, you have a chance to get ahead. I believe this is the defining challenge of our time. Make sure our economy works for every working American. 2 years earlier, multi-billionaire investor Warren Buffett had complained that he and his mega-rich friends did not pay enough taxes. These sentiments are widely shared. Within 18 months of its publication in 2013, a 700-page academic tome on capitalist inequality had sold 1.5 million copies and risen to the top of the New York Times nonfiction hardcover bestseller list. In the Democratic Party primaries for the 2016 presidential election, Senator Bernie Sanders' relentless denunciation of the billionaire class roused large crowds and elicited millions of small donations from grassroots supporters. Even the leadership of the People's Republic of China has publicly acknowledged the issue by endorsing a report on how to reform the system of income distribution. Any lingering doubts are dispelled by Google, one of the great money-spinning disequalizers in the San Francisco Bay Area, where I live, which allows us to track the growing prominence of income inequality in the public consciousness. So, have the rich simply kept getting richer? Not quite. For all the much-maligned rapacity of the billionaire class, or more broadly, the 1%, American top income shares only very recently caught up with those reached back in 1929, and assets are less heavily concentrated now than they were then. In England, on the eve of the First World War, the richest tenth of households held a staggering 92% of all private wealth, crowding out pretty much everybody else. Today, their share is a little more than half. High inequality has an extremely long pedigree. 2,000 years ago, the largest Roman private fortunes equaled about 1.5 million times the average annual per capita income in the empire, roughly the same ratio as for Bill Gates and the average American today. For all we can tell, even the overall degree of Roman income inequality was not very different from that in the United States. Yet, by the time of Pope Gregory the Great, around 600 CE, great estates had disappeared, and what little was left of the Roman aristocracy relied on papal handouts to keep them afloat. Sometimes, as on that occasion, inequality declined because although many became poorer, the rich simply had more to lose. In other cases, workers became better off while returns on capital fell. Western Europe after the Black Death, where real wages doubled or tripled, and laborers dined on meat and beer, while landlords struggled to keep up appearances, is a famous example. How has the distribution of income and wealth developed over time, and why has it sometimes changed so much? Considering the enormous amount of attention that inequality has received in recent years, we still know much less about this than might be expected. A large and steadily growing body of often highly technical scholarship attends to the most pressing question: why income has frequently become more concentrated over the course of the last generation. Less has been written about the forces that caused inequality to fall across much of the world earlier in the 20th century, and far less still about the distribution of material resources in the more distant past. To be sure, concerns about growing income gaps in the world today have given momentum to the study of inequality in the longer run, just as contemporary climate change has encouraged analysis of pertinent historical data. But we still lack a proper sense of the big picture, a global survey that covers the broad sweep of observable history. A cross-cultural, comparative, and long-term perspective is essential for our understanding of the mechanisms that have shaped the distribution of income and wealth. The Four Horsemen. Material inequality requires access to resources beyond the minimum that is needed to keep us alive. Surpluses already existed tens of thousands of years ago, and so did humans who were prepared to share them unevenly. Back in the last ice age, hunter-gatherers found